the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, June the 12th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. It's a handshake that's making worldwide headlines. Trump and Kim meet face-to-face. Also on the Tuesday rundown, labor updates on airport workers and teachers, and in California, a hearing to ban prosecution of children under the age of 12. First, our top story. After months of saber-rattling, President Trump finally met face-to-face with Kim Jong-un in Singapore on Tuesday morning. Yahoo News reporting that 35-year-old Kim arrived at the summit 7 minutes earlier than Trump to show respect to his elder. Trump had insisted he would know within the first minute if Kim was serious about denuclearization. He said he felt really great and that it was an honor to meet with the North Korean dictator. Yahoo quotes the North Korean leader as saying it was not easy to get here. Kim said there were obstacles, but we overcame them to be here. He apparently likened the meeting to something from a science fiction movie, according to a translation of his remarks. Meantime, CNBC reports White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow, an important voice in U.S. trade policy, suffered what doctors are calling a mild heart attack and is in good condition at Walter Reed Medical Center. A first-ever union contract means higher wages and benefits for some 1,500 workers at Philadelphia International Airport. Andrea Sears has the details.
After 5 years of organizing, baggage handlers, wheelchair agents, cabin cleaners, and others have won a contract that union representatives say will bring them a living wage and benefits, including paid time off. The contract gives the workers wages of $13.60 an hour, more than double what they were earning when the organizing effort began. And according to Local 32BJ SEIU Vice President Gabe Morgan, it gives them much more than higher pay.
As they went into this bargaining, they were focused, frankly, even more on securing the kind of basic job protections that most American workers used to have, as much or maybe even more than they were on wages. So tough to overdescribe what a big win this is for workers here in Philadelphia.
He credits the city council, which passed an ordinance requiring a living wage at the airport, and Mayor Jim Kenney with being major forces behind securing the new contract. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
SEIU now represents 25,000 members at 37 U.S. airports, where some 120,000 workers have won higher wages. And sticking with the labor beat, educators and community members who led the Red for Ed walkouts in Arizona are hoping to take their fight to the November ballots. Catherine Davis Young reports the Invest in Ed campaign proposes to boost funding for Arizona schools through an increased state income tax on the wealthiest Arizonans.
It would apply to couples earning more than $500,000 per year or single-person households earning more than $250,000. To get their proposal onto Arizona ballots next fall, the group needs more than 150,000 signatures by July 5th. Josh Buckley is chair of the Invest in Ed campaign and a longtime high school teacher in Mesa.
We have seen a governor and a legislative body who have decided they can only do half measures, and so we're going to take the reins and we're going to do it ourselves.
More than 50,000 Arizona teachers and supporters marched to the state capitol in a five-day walkout in April and early May. They called for legislators to raise pay for teachers and school staff and increase classroom spending. In the end, Governor Doug Ducey and state lawmakers offered teachers a 19% raise over 3 years, but the state budget did not address teachers' concerns about restoring school funding to 2008 levels.
A recent survey by the research group FM3 showed 70% of surveyed Arizona voters say there's a great need for additional public school funding. Public schools in Colorado face significant challenges protecting students from sexual assault, harassment, and discrimination. Eric Galatis reports that's according to a new CU Boulder study.
Researchers found that key staff responsible for preventing and responding to harassment frequently didn't know it was their job. Elizabeth Meyer, the report's lead author, says if schools are serious about reducing discrimination in the Me Too era, they need to carve out time and resources for Title IX coordinators to be effective.
This is an important opportunity to pay closer attention to what's happening in our public schools and ensure that students are feeling safe and supported and have a place to turn if they do experience a case of sexual assault or sexual harassment in their schools.
And juvenile justice groups are planning to pack a public hearing today in Sacramento to support a bill that would ban criminal prosecution of children under 12 unless they're charged with murder or rape.
Patricia Lee, president of the Pacific Juvenile Defender Center, says California currently has no minimum age for prosecution in the juvenile system.
They're babies. They're not competent to understand the nature of proceedings. They cannot assist in their defense. It's a no-brainer.
Statistics show that in 2015, California authorities made 687 referrals to prosecute children under 12, including one 5-year-old and 12 7-year-olds. However, that constitutes less than 1% of the 87,000 juvenile arrests made in the state last year. Opponents of the law say prosecutors need to have discretion in deciding whether a child should be criminally prosecuted.
The same bill was introduced last year as part of a package of 6 juvenile justice reforms. 5 of them passed. This one was held over until this year's session. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.